Well, we knew that the Hewitts were coming into town for Jessica and Carlton's wedding yesterday, and so since I knew they were coming in town, I thought we'd put them to work. So we had the girls sing, and Tim's going to be here to preach for us, and appreciate him being here. Everybody knows him. Most everybody knows him. I guess everybody knows him around here. We've been down here for a couple years. God bless you. Appreciate you being in town.
Thank you, Pastor.
We love you.
Appreciate it. Amen. Well, amen. We had to get our winter clothes back out. We had packed those things up.
Just shut up.
Yeah, we had to dig through to find them things and got here. And it was almost, it was like 60. And then today. So anyhow, the girls had, you see, they had to learn new songs. They've sang every song they know here. So they had to learn new songs. And so glad to be here. It's always a blessing to get to come back and to see if people still like you. You know what I mean? That's always, you know. Anyhow, Luke chapter 10 tonight. Luke in chapter 10. You know, God is good to us. We got there, of course. You know, when there's you've heard Pastor Walsh say it many, many, many times here is, you know, when you get started in a new place, things have a little bit of a little bit of settling in, a little bit of shifting and a little bit of things. And sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it takes a long time to get through that. And God's been good to us. There's a little bit of time to get settled in. And God's been blessing. We've seen now this Sunday, of course, we weren't there, but this Sunday makes 6 weeks in a row we've had visitors. And not visitors, we've went out. We haven't really started evangelizing to go out yet. We're trying to, and God just sends folks. And our Christmas Eve service, we had a special candlelight service. And said, people are asking me, how do you do a candlelight service? I said, I don't know. We're just going to get some candles. I don't know. We figured it out. But a lady came, walked in, sat in the back. We did our own cantata. It's just everybody sang and read some verses. And at the end, I had about a 10-minute, devotional message type of thing to fill up, And lady came and got saved. And so she's been coming. And a few weeks later, we had another fella get saved. And at least about half the folks are better that have visited. Keep coming. So we haven't run them off yet. Amen. And so we're excited and we're glad to see, it's exciting when you see God doing the work, right, with you around there. And, when God gets the credit, amen, it's an exciting thing. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Bible says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Let's pray together as we get started this evening. Our Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your goodness, Lord, your care, your watch, your meeting our needs. Lord, you know what's coming down our road long before we ever get to it. And Lord, you prepare us for it. You do a work in our hearts. And Lord, you watch out for us in the way. Lord, I pray that you would bless tonight. Lord, help us to, Lord, see from your word that which you would have us to receive. Lord, pray that you convict us, encourage us. Lord, pray that we might be exhorted. Lord, direct us in the way that you would have to do in each of our hearts. And we'll give you thanks for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I want to look at tonight a few things. But number one, the Christian's dilemma. So we have an example here of two sisters attempting to live for Jesus. Now, Martha, This passage right here is how Martha's known. That's just it. This right here, She's pegged as this woman. This is her situation. She's the sister that's more interested in the kitchen than the feet of Jesus. Don't you hate that when, like, one thing you do in your life, right, it just spells out everything else. Oh, yeah, you're that guy that, you know, and that's just the way it is. Sometimes there's these things, and this is a very well-known passage, and you see this, and so she's known. Mary, on the other hand, is lauded as the sister to be like. It'll be like Mary, you know, not like Martha. And she sat at the feet of Jesus instead of in the kitchen and so forth and these kind of things. And what a challenge. There's a dilemma here. So the dilemma is, the second thing here is this, to seek or to serve. This could be a challenging dilemma to figure out, right? Should we just get busy in serving the Lord, or should we stop and sit at Jesus' feet? It's a tough question, really, to answer that. Really, it's really not the right question to ask, though. We shouldn't have to choose, and we shouldn't choose between serving or receiving, right? We need to find a balance. We need to find a balance. The balanced life is what we ought to be looking for. Balance is the key to the Christian life. It really is. Balance is the key. It's how we live in the world, but not of the world. Right? This thing of balance. But balance is a lot easier to see someone else failing at, right, than it is for us to be effective at, right? It's easier to see somebody else that's not getting it done right, they're not very balanced, than it is for me to actually live a balanced life. Just like with all things, it's easier to see other people's problems than my own, right? I can notice the little speck in their eye. I can't notice the beam in my own eye, that kind of thing. Balance takes discernment. Really, it takes discernment. It takes some discretion. And really, it takes patience. Real balance takes sacrifice. It takes dedication. All of these things make it a challenge. It really does. It makes it a challenge. Which is why balance is often disregarded for extremes, right? Extremes are much clearer to focus on, right? To get dug in and stand our ground. That's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to just take one side, kind of get dug in and just say, this is where I'm going to stand on this extreme end of something. And, you know, it kind of feels better. I know where to stand. I feel safer in this place. It's kind of just, I get all in on something. You know, we call it, you know, we kind of go to seed on something sometimes we call it, or our pet peeve, or maybe that's not the right term, but we get something that's our hobby horse or whatever that thing is, and we know people by that extreme, right? We know people and oh yeah, they're this or they're that or whatever the thing is. They're very extremes that... Extreme positions take less compassion because I'm right, bless God, amen, and they're wrong, so I don't really have to have compassion on them because I'm right, and if they would get right, then they'd be over here, and we see what I'm saying? Extremes kind of, we get this kind of way that takes less compassion, less discernment. I didn't want to think of it. We're not even going to discuss it. You know, we kind of just, less of a contemplation of my actions. People do some really ridiculous things when they're on the extremes, right? We've seen it in our news. We've seen it in society. If we look in the mirror, we'd see it in ourselves, right? Extremes are just, it's a lot easier. To take a one-sided extreme position is just easier for me. I don't have to think about it. I'm just going to be over here and that's over there. And so that's why extremes are more often chosen than balance. Right? Y'all with me tonight? He said, I thought you just could come up there and tell us jokes. That was it. You got one now. Okay. I've gone through my life a lot of a lot of learning. You know, I've started at some extreme position that and held it as right. And by the way, when I'm saying, I'm not talking about doctrine, you understand? I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm talking about maybe positions or thoughts or philosophies. And I get something and say, this is right. And anybody else that doesn't do it, they're not right with God. And they just need to be, you know. And then you find, here's what, being a missionary really messed up my thinking. Because I was going deputation, I found we went into a lot of churches that were not at my extreme. They weren't in my carpet square, right? They were like spread out over there. And I knew all along that God couldn't bless anybody outside of this square because I was right. You know what I mean? And then you know what I found? I got over there and I was out here and you're going to somebody else's church and you don't sit there saying, you know, preacher, you're not right with God. You know, you're there a day. And you see them do the things and have things on the platforms and do different things. You're like, God isn't going to bless that. And then you see God bless it. And they're thinking, I don't know what to think now. Because my extreme, and you know, it'll mess you up a little bit, you know. And you try to find this place, and man, I've kind of been like the pendulum swinging at times. You're like, yeah, and then, okay, I swing over here. Like, nope, that's, balanced life is a challenge. It's a challenge. It takes a lot of effort and discernment and work, and it's just not the easy road. It's one that takes a little effort. Let's notice here, though, these sisters. Verse 38, he says, now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now Martha is the one that received Jesus into her house. I mean, she is maybe the one that had a desire to serve Jesus and maybe knew what was going on and arranged for Jesus to come to her house to serve him. She wanted him to be in the place where she could minister to him and to those that were with him. Man, I'm telling you, certainly a wonderful characteristic of a godly servant of the Lord. Amen? Somebody said, listen, I want Jesus to be in my house, right? And those with him, I want that to be happening in my house. What a wonderful Christian character this is. I want to serve God in my house, and I want him to come, and I want him to be in this place. And what a great characteristic. Serving others is the example that Christ has given us. Well, then we find the introduction of Mary, verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So we find an interesting phrase in this introduction of Mary. It says, which also sat. So that word also gives us the idea that this wasn't the only thing that she did. There was something else. There was something else going on. There was an also going on or other things as well. Maybe the reference is just simply that she also received Jesus into her home. Maybe that's all it is. Maybe she also was involved with the preparing and serving. I'm not sure, but maybe she was already involved in that. But she also wanted to be at Jesus' feet. But there was something also that Mary wanted to be involved with. It wasn't just the things that Martha was in. Verse 39, we see that, and she, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She wanted to be at the feet of Jesus. She wanted to hear his word. What a wonderful characteristic of a disciple. So we're going to see then the contrast. We're at number 4. I number things now. I number things now. I don't always tell the things that are the numbers. And I go back. Let me go back again. I've kind of tried to develop something people can kind of follow along. I don't really do it well. Number one was the Christian's dilemma. Number two, to seek or to serve. Number three is notice the sisters. And then number four is the contrast. And so people taking notes can write something down. I'm growing. These guys, that's what they do. They all have numbers and stuff. So I'm trying to be. Anyhow, there's joke two. Okay, verse 40, the contrast here. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Now, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on right here. Whole bunch of stuff in this one verse that gives us a problem. I mean, this is really where Martha really messes up right here. A lot of things going on. Number one, the term cumbered. It's a word that means to be pulled away. It means to be distracted. Listen to what I'm saying here. That word, the Bible says there that in verse 40, it says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. And so this word means she was pulled away and distracted. This, can I tell you tonight, that's a negative term. You see, it's a negative term. It's certainly not a positive one. Yeah, she was, that was great. She was distracted. Nobody ever says, yeah, they're really good at getting distracted. You know what I mean? It's a negative term. This wasn't speaking of a great characteristic of one serving in a great capacity. It's describing one that is distracted by serving. So, serving or being a servant, can it become a distraction? Evidently so. You know, we can get distracted from what we ought to be doing by doing what we want to be doing. You see, maybe we ought to be at home raising our family a little more often. We ought to be with our family a little bit more, you know, go up, maybe let my wife know that I'm interested in her, right? And that I know who she is. Let my kids know that I'm their dad, right? Instead of finding something to get me away from that. But I'm serving Jesus. Are you, though? All right, it's got quiet on it. Good. All right. That was the mitten. Ladies, same way. This is about ladies. Amen? So maybe we get so busy doing the things that we forget about the people. Right? We can get distracted by the things of serving. Serving is a good thing. Right? We're not talking about doing bad stuff. We're not talking about sin here. We're talking about serving. And get so busy serving and doing the good things that we're pulled away from maybe the people and things we ought to be doing. And there's a lot of things going on there. So serving can be distracting. But it's a good excuse, though, isn't it? Of all the excuses, this is a good one. I'm at the church doing things for the Lord. Right? I can remember, and I probably told this before, but when I first started pastoring, and I mean, I didn't know much about, I went through Bible college, but I didn't know much, you know, really, about preparing messages. So I spent a lot of time, and I'd be at the church till 8, 9 o'clock at night sometimes and I didn't even know, anyway, so many things I didn't know. And I'm trying to, my wife says, you gonna come home for supper? Yeah, I'm gonna come home. And I didn't. But I'm studying. It's a good excuse. I mean, I wasn't making an excuse. I just was. And finally she said, could you just come home at 5 and eat supper and then you go back? I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. But I didn't do that because I was distracted. You understand? I was distracted and I'm going. And one day she came to me in a way that I don't know if it was tears or frustration or what. I can't remember. It's been a long time ago. But I remember it happened. And she was upset, and I realized at that moment, she said, could you just come home at 5? Just we have supper, and I thought, wow, yeah. You know what I realized? I had took an extreme, you see? And there was some balance, and you know, from that time, I determined, I'm stopping at 5. You know what? The preaching didn't get any worse. Didn't get any worse because I stopped at 5 and went home and ate supper. By the way, I didn't go back either. It's like, well, you didn't spend as much time. I don't know. Listen, I'm just saying we can find this thing that we can get distracted by serving. Right? It's what we can find here. But then there's a second problem, which is really a product of the first, is that Mary came to the Lord within a complaint. Look again, verse 40. And came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Notice what this cumbered service, this distracted, pulled away service brought her to. She is now complaining to her guest that he's not compassionate about her situation. Okay, you don't get that as funny as I do. It's amazing here. Come on, Jesus, we want you to come. We want to serve you, and we're serving him. He's there, and then he's come. I imagine it like that. I don't. Maybe it wasn't. She comes over and says, "Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care about me?" I don't know how it was, but I imagine Jesus sitting over there, just like, you know what I mean? Like, what's going on? I mean, he knew though. But I just kind of imagine, as a guest, somebody comes over, starts chewing you out because I'm just trying to get a meal. Little feet washing, you know, I'm just, and wow. It's amazing. It's amazing what getting distracted, getting pulled away. She is literally complaining to the Lord, whom she received in her house, that he didn't care about her. What is wrong with her? I mean, I don't know if you've ever been a guest in somebody's house like that. I have. And you're in there, you're like, I want to get out of here. I mean, I've been in homes and the husband and wife start fighting. Not to cussing, but close. I'm Christian homes. And you know, and you're there, and all of a sudden you're just like, it's not good that I'm in this place. You know, you're just like, and then you want to try to like, hey, we're talking really loud over here. We don't hear you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Kind of this whole thing. Man, I hate being in that situation when like a husband and wife are arguing in front of you and you're just like, this ain't good. I don't know what to do, you know? Or they start embarrassing their kids, saying some really rude and trying to embarrass their kid in front of me. Like, I don't want to hear that. You know what I mean? It's weird. It's kind of, I don't know what the apostles, the disciples there were thinking. You know? Jesus, they're up there, Jesus, you don't care about me, you know? You don't, I mean, maybe those, I wonder if those guys wanted to step up. I don't know. Anyway, that's just me. Can I say this, though? Christian service can get ugly at times. Isn't that an odd thing to say? Christian service can get ugly. But it's most often when we're cumbered about with much serving. Yeah, it's not like there's a problem with the serving. It's a distracted, it's pulled away. By the way, this isn't say, see, that's why I don't serve up at the church. No, that's not what we're talking about here, folks. The opposite of cumbered about isn't, I'm going to do nothing to stay out of that danger. That's the other ditch, right? That's the other extreme, and the extremes is not what we're trying to get to tonight. So this is a thing. There's a problem going on, and when we get cumbered about, and now we're frustrated serving, angry serving. I've seen folks get angry serving and say some really ugly things and holler, and I mean, man, you're just like, are we at... You're thinking, why are you, sir? What is going on here? That's what happened. That's when she went and started chewing out Jesus. Can I just say this? More isn't always better. If serving Christ makes us difficult to live with, something is terribly wrong. If serving the Lord causes aggravation in your marriage, you're doing it wrong. You hear what I'm saying tonight? If serving the Lord causes you to have not to be a good mom or a good dad, or you get annoyed with your kids or something like, you're not doing it right. Well, I'm just going to do less. It's not always less. It's just you're not doing it right. Something's wrong. If you serving God, I'm just serving Him, and sometimes I get a little frustrated. Well, yeah, there's something wrong with you, and with me if that's what I'm doing right. Notice in the third thing in this verse, there's more stuff. Look at the third thing in this verse. We're still in verse 40. And he, very last part of it, he says, bid her therefore that she help me. This is hilarious. Yeah, make her come help me. Lord, make her come help me. Get her back in the kitchen. So now Martha is seemingly telling Christ how to be the Lord. Y'all don't find that funny as I do. I don't know why. Maybe I've thought about this a lot longer. But I thought she'd come up and she said to him, you know, bid her to help. I mean, won't you just get her up in here? Whew. People like to do this with the pastor as well. People like to do this with the pastor. Say, Pastor, you need to tell them. You need to tell them to do this or that. You need to, like pastor is the God. Like making people serve the Lord is what a disciple of Christ looks like, right? We kind of get in this thing that's this distracted. You see, this distracted, this pulled away service is we get frustrated. And you know what happens? We're serving and other people aren't serving in the same way we're serving. And so we say, you know, they ought to be made to serve the same way. Well, maybe they don't want to. Fifth thing. Yeah, or they're not supposed to. Yeah, well, we're going to get to that. Yeah, no, that's all right. That's all right. Fifth thing. I'm still counting them. All right. The Lord's reply. The Lord's reply. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Don't you just like that part? We only say, it's just, I imagine Pastor Walsh doing that. Martha, Martha. You know, it seems like something he would say from the pulpit. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You know, even when the Lord gets chewed out, he has compassion. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad he doesn't repay us in kind? Wow. The Lord doesn't follow her instructions, though, but instead points out her issues. He said, thou art careful. Now, careful isn't always careful like we think careful means. Here, careful is a word that means anxious. It means worried. It means concerned. Martha was worried about many things. Again, this is not a positive characteristic. Oh, she's a really careful girl. No, that's not what this is. She's somebody that worries about too much stuff. By the way, she was concerning herself, which were things for her not to worry about. Yeah, so what was happening is there was stuff going on around her, and her world was right in here. Her serving Jesus was right here. But she wanted to worry about Mary serving Jesus. Lord, make her get over here and serve with me, right? And he said, you worrying about what ain't yours to worry about. Can I tell you this? If I get a rope around you and drag you to come serving, it doesn't make you a disciple. I don't know what it makes you, but it doesn't make you a disciple. It makes you angry at me. It makes me have issues because you're trying to get away. You know what I stopped doing? You know what I stopped doing? You know what she stopped doing? What she was supposed to be doing? She was doing something. She stopped. This is funny. She stopped what she was doing. to say, you need to come help me do what I'm doing because right, it's taking me too long. I don't know if Mary probably wouldn't have said this. Probably she should have. Well, if you get back there, you get it done. I don't think she said that because that wouldn't have been a good spirit. And she seemed to. But Martha was concerning herself with things that were not hers to worry about. I want you to notice what this kind of worry leads to. He says there, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled. So she was troubled. That word, it's a word, the word troubled, it's a word that means turbulence. You see, it means to be stirred up, to be disquieted. This anxiety, this care about many things has caused her life to be turbulent, to be troubled. I'll tell you, getting distracted in your service, can I say this? I think it's better that you didn't serve. I mean, for you. Yeah, something was going on in her life, and she was so worried about other things, and those people aren't doing my sister, she's just this and that, and she's frustrated and angry at Jesus. And her life, she's full of anxiety and care about what everybody else is doing, and it caused her life to be in turmoil, trouble, turbulent life. This is a woman, by the way, that is currently in the work of ministering to Christ, serving Jesus in a world of trouble. Man. Can we get there? Can we find ourselves there? Pretty easy, actually. So the Lord gives the remedy. I like remedies. Amen. I mean, problems seem to like stick them, they just shine, right? But remedies is the good. Look at verse 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I'm going to tell you right here, folks. There is nothing worse than being told your sister was right and you were wrong. I have a sister, and my mom, she was always right. Probably was, but man, can you? Jesus went up to her and said, "She's right. You're wrong." Crushing. Ouch. Ugh. You know, there needed to be a meal. They're Baptist, right? There needed to be a meal. There had to be a meal there. But the thing is, what the Lord is trying to say, the meal wasn't the important part. The word of the Lord is the important part. Service without sustenance of the Lord is not good. Serving isn't more important than receiving what the Lord wants to give us. I've watched people over the years give years and years to serve, but look for every opportunity to skip out on or miss the worship service. They'll serve. Man, they'll serve. Listen, there's a work day. There's some other thing going on. There's an opportunity. There's whatever. They're on it. I'm volunteering for Jesus. Looking for every opportunity to get out of the receiving part. Folks want to give, but not receive. They're good at participating in business meetings. You know, I'm just saying they're good at that part because I want to be involved in that, but not in the receiving of the Word of God. The Lord said this, one thing is needful. It's needful. You know, here's the thing. We can serve without really knowing God. We can do stuff. We can't. We could do stuff without really knowing God. We could do things. We could be busy. We can have ideas. These folk have a lot of ideas. Those that don't receive the Word of God but just want to do so, they usually have a lot of ideas. And we can do all kinds of labor and work and all these kind of things, but it is the Word of God that is going to transform us into what God wants us to be. We need to be transformed before we try to produce something for the Lord. Without God changing us by and through His Word, we'll find ourselves, watch what we're going to find. We're going to find ourselves upset, bitter, and angry, watch this, by how other people live for Jesus. Isn't that weird? How could we be over here serving the Lord, bitter, angry, upset, and really, you know what we're bitter, angry, upset about how other people are serving Jesus? She was, now let's don't lose track of the context. She was mad at her sister for sitting there at the feet of Jesus receiving His Word. A terrible woman. Right? Imagine the things. Our life, we'll find our life to be in turmoil, turbulent, full of anxiety and trouble. Last thing, number six. We're not doing seven. I know seven would have been good, but Number six. What do we do with the Lord's instruction? What do we do with this? You know, it's one thing to point out to us. It's one thing to, you know, what does somebody like Martha deal with? I mean, she just got called out by Jesus in front of God and everybody. I mean, He is God. Y'all with me tonight? That was the third joke. Y'all missed it. Okay. If I got to tell you, it's going bad. She just got called out, said, you're blowing it. You're troubled. You're careful about all these things. Your sister's right. You're wrong. Oh, bad night. What do you do with that? Look with me over in John chapter 12. John in chapter 12. We find another occasion here in verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. And there they made Him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. We find again something interesting. Martha serving. But no mention of her bitterness, nor frustration with Mary's worship. There again, watch here again. Here's Martha still doing what God called Martha to do. You see? And before she was frustrated with Mary because Mary's over there next to Jesus in that good spot. Now here she is, getting this ointment out. I mean, you know, Judas is all ticked off about it. You know, all that. How are we going to do all this? She's getting, now, Mary's known for that, right? Matter of fact, anywhere that the Bible is spoken of, that occasion is going to be heard of, right? So here, I mean, what a ripoff. She's known for not wanting to be at the feet of Jesus, and she's known for, you know, worshiping Him. But now, Martha, we don't see her frustration with that anymore. I don't know. We don't have the whole story. You said, well, it could have been. Yeah, it could have been. I'm going to say it could have been. Could it be that she now understood what was most important? I mean, could it be that she had sat at Jesus' feet and received what was needed to be what God wanted her to be? Until you receive what's coming from this pulpit, you say, is that the only place we're going to get the Word of God? I can do that at home. That may be, but God appointed a place. God appointed a place and a pastor. And listen, and we say, well, I just, listen, until you receive what's coming from the pulpit and being in the place of gather with His people, you're not really going to be ready to give to others. even to the Lord himself. So let's not get so cumbered with the serving that we don't receive what God has done for us, what he wants for us. Once you get in here and get it, your service to him will be lovely, sweet, not burdened, not troubled, not anxious. Matter of fact, when I'm real, listen, when I'm about like two sentences away from done, which means more than two sentences, but on my paper, just two sentences. When I'm just concerned about serving the Lord, and I don't care what they're doing over there, it comes off sweet. It's sweet. It's lovely. And it's a blessing to God. But without it, you'll only be burdened in the service.